Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. And I don't know why, Lord, some days are more pregnant with possibilities, opportunities, changes. And Lord, as we're gathered here today, February 4th, 2018, help us to remember that this day we choose to worship you. Pray that you would be our vision. Pray that you would open our eyes as we open your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Today's message is coming from Luke chapter 24, and I've entitled it, I Can See. And we want to tell it as a certain story, and you know, there's a lot of stories, aren't there, in life? There's a lot of stories in the Bible. I know for myself, I was had some time, and I have to say thank you yesterday for the farewell luncheon time and sharing. And I want to thank Elder Leonard also for helping to organize that. You all have been a tremendously rich blessing to me. And my only regret is I didn't say that enough, and that our time here is shorter than I would have liked. But I also do sense very much that the Lord has been leading me on, and I've been reflecting over the past weeks. And it's funny how in perspective you can step back, and then you can step back, and you can step back, and something about how we're made, we gain perspective on the world with every place that we stand. And as far as I understand, we can never gain enough perspective, whether it's details or a bigger picture. Well, today's message is going to be about gaining some perspective as a church, and also, sort of a Valentine's message from me to you as a pastor. In the Gospel of Mark, there's really only one little cryptic verse, and I believe it's either Mark or Matthew, but I lean towards Mark that it was the first gospel written. And it says that Jesus even appeared to two people and suddenly vanished. In essence, it's what it says in Mark. It's just one tiny one-sentence verse. But Luke decides to follow up on this thread, and we know that he's a historian, and it's pretty accepted that he's the last of the three synoptic gospels written. And then John, of course, is written much later at the tail end of John's life when he's been exiled, essentially living on a prison island. But for Luke, he decides to pull out these threads and figure out the story, this one little cryptic verse. And it's so powerful, so encouraging, because I don't know about you, sometimes I lose my way. Sometimes I get confused as a Christian. Sometimes I get discouraged, and we lose perspective. So we're going to tell a story today. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to take a little bit of liberty, but I think it's well within the bounds of Scripture. You see, there were two of us when we were traveling, and my buddy's name is Cleopas. In fact, we were headed to Emmaus. You know, it's a short distance, a day or two travel. You know, I understand nowadays it's hard to pin down that exact location. But back then, it wasn't difficult to find. You just followed the road. So here we were. We're walking down the road, and we're discussing all the things that have been happening earlier in the day, as well as over the recent days. As far as things go, we were going deep into the discussion. And then suddenly, Jesus joined us while we were walking. But for some reason, we weren't able to recognize him. And that's when Jesus first spoke to us. I remember his first words to us back then. What are you talking about while you're walking? We were surprised. No, we were stunned. Actually, we were dead silent. We stopped right there, overwhelmed with sadness. We didn't know what to say. It might have seemed just like a moment, but and a slight pause and some hesitation, but to us it felt like eternity. And then my friend Cleopas broke the silence and he turned to answer him. Are you the only person in Jerusalem who didn't hear what's happened recently? I'll never forget Jesus' answer. You know, the English translation you guys use here gets pretty close. It's two words. But in Greek, there's only one word. Poia. What things? It stands out because it's only one word. But it wasn't just the fact that it's one word, it's also how he said it. It wasn't defensive. It wasn't surprised. It wasn't thoughtless. It was curious and probing and watchful without being judging and overbearing. It was kind of like he was a lot more curious just to see how we would speak than just what we would say. And that's when we really started talking about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet and did all these mighty miracles, and he had such powerful teaching, and he was from God, and everyone saw that clear and plain as day right before their eyes. The priests and the rulers, they took Jesus and they handed him over to be sentenced to death by crucifixion. And how they did just that. They crucified him. You know, honestly, we had a lot of hopes riding on him. You know, I understand there's a really big game today. And I just thought, I don't have a side. But do you guys pick a team? Yeah? Well, for us, we were feeling like we're for Team Jesus. And then when we saw him crucified, all of our hopes were dashed. We thought he was going to be that special one that was going to redeem Israel. Yep. We really did. In addition to all those things, it was the third day since everything happened. Well, wouldn't you know it, on top of that, there are these ladies that were from our group. And they came back with some weird news, and they blew us away with what they were saying. They went to visit Jesus' burial site the first thing in the morning at the crack of dawn. But they didn't find his body in the grave. They came back talking all crazy and saying stuff like they saw a vision and they saw an angel, and we didn't know what to make of it. They said they saw an angel that told them that Jesus was alive. So, some of our group went out, our followers went out to check it out, and everything matched up to their description, except Jesus was nowhere to be seen. And that's when our new friend, stranger friend, spoke. In a way, his words really stung, but they were right. Oh, foolish ones. In spite of the direct words, he didn't get angry. In fact, he kept his cool. You know, his next words explain why he called us that. You see, he saw that in our hearts we were slow to believe. That everything that happened, happened just like the prophets foretold. Not only did the prophets foretell all these things would happen, but that the Messiah, our Redeemer, would have to go through all of this. All the pain, all of the suffering, all of the shame, before he would pass away and on into glory. Then he started into Scripture. In fact, not just Scripture. He started into all of Scripture, and he started walking us through the Bible back and forth and all the way and weaving. And as we were walking and winding our way down the road, up and down, around the curves and around the turns, he was doing so, walking us through Scripture. And he was pointing out stuff along the way. He said, over here. What about over there? All the stuff was about him, about Jesus himself. He went through from beginning to the end, all through the Old Testament. You see, there wasn't a New Testament yet. Does that blow your minds? But Jesus saw himself all over the Old Testament. I wonder, have you ever looked for Jesus in the Old Testament? Well, yet all the while we were walking, we got the crash course review of Jesus. So, we started reaching our destination. It was getting closer. And we were going to spend the night there. But Jesus was looking like he was going to go on a little further than we were going to go. So we begged him, please, please, stay with us. It was getting late. It's dark outside. And it's going to get tough to travel anyways. Please, just stay with us. And he did. So we get inside, get all settled, and we meet back up to grab some dinner. And that's when it happened. We were all around the table ready to eat, and he prayed over the food. You know, it wasn't so much the way that he picked up the bread or the way that he held it, but it was all that. But most of all, how he prayed. And then he broke off the pieces just for us. And then it struck us like a light of lightning, a bolt of lightning. Our eyes were opened and we recognized him. And the next thing you know, he disappeared. Right before our eyes. So I turned to my friend Cleopas, and he turned to look at me at the same time, and we started talking. And all we could say was, was it just me? Wasn't your heart telling you all along it was him? Were you feeling the yearning? Was your heart deeply stirred? Even while he was talking, to us, and while we were walking along. Yeah. Also, when he was opening up Scripture to unlock it, to unfold it, right before our eyes. Today's message is asking the simple question, can you see Christ? I'll be honest, pastors may come and go. But I hope that when I'm gone, Christ will still be here. Christ will still be here. And I hope that through the circumstances, through the changes, through the journey, even though he might be hidden from our eyes, that we would recognize him. I hope that when you meet new Christian brothers and sisters, or maybe when you see somebody who's never accepted Christ before, that you can see, oh, I can see them as a Christian. Through your hardships, that God is working all these things together for his good. That you see Christ. I'm so thankful for singing that song just before the message, "Be Thou My Vision." O Lord of my life, not be all else to me, save that thou art. These two people, one of them doesn't have a name. I like to say the Lord left a blank spot in the Bible. A fill in the blank. Maybe you could put your name there. Those moments where you're walking through life and Christ comes alongside you. Not literally, but you know his presence is right there. And as we're here today, I wanted to share something. It's kind of my way of sharing a little gift for you all. Because sometimes it's right there, right in front of us. But we can't see it for one reason or another. I want to share this gift with you as a little thing. Some or many, or I don't know, a few of you may realize that one of the gifts the Lord's given to me that I feel I need to steward is the gift of music. And I was wondering if I could ask Jason to come at this time and tickle the ivories a little bit. You know, there's a lot about the Christian life that's all about seeing, isn't it? Right? To understand God's grace and his love towards us so that we have the ability to forgive and love others. To see the suffering that Christ had so that we have encouragement to actually continue on through the challenges and struggles that we have in our own lives. And I've seen God provide again and again and again. And I've watched our church grow. I've watched our leaders grow. I've watched your youth grow. God has been really faithful. So with that, I just want to encourage you. Hopefully it's familiar. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior. And life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.